I would like to take this time out just to greet you again in the marvelous, majestic name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so looking forward today to share this message with you. It has been a message that has empowered me and enlightened me, and it has brought me such great, great joy to share this particular portion of scripture with you today. I believe that we are in a time where we as the children of God need to build a more and more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. I know there are countless numbers of people that are walking with close fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and there's also a vast majority that does not really have this relationship, this intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and understands the role of the Holy Spirit when it comes to redemption. And I want to thank God today that through the study of the scripture and looking into the book of Ephesians, this amazing book that Paul wrote, and looking into this chapter 1 verses 3, and we're just gonna look through it and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, you know, bring us, so give us understanding, and that we will understand what Paul is trying to bring across here, because this is something that is so rich. It's so rich but yet rare in the church and in the body of Christ. And I believe that God wants to take this time out today to just share with you this wonderful treasure, so this wonderful insights concerning Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. And when I even preach on this, I will not be doing the text justice by what I will be sharing, because there is so much insight, so much revelation, so much that one can learn from this particular text. And I'm just going to basically scratch the surface today when we touch on this amazing, amazing book of Ephesians. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. May the blessing be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realm. Now, when we look at this verse, we can look at a few translations and it will just bring some insight to this particular portion of scripture. Let's look at the NLT. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, because we are united with Christ. These blessings come because we are united, we are in union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Each book in the Bible has its own special theme and message. And even though it may deal with many different topics, for example, the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings, Matthew is the book of the kingdom, Galatians is the book of liberty, Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 states its theme is the Christian riches in Christ. Now, when I took the title, or when I came up with the title of I Am Rich, know for the very first thing that many of us have thought, or many of us think, we see cars, and we see houses, we see lands and properties, and we see all of these other things. But very, very few people are really, really interested in the spiritual wealth we possess because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Many, many people are lacking understanding. Many people are lacking knowledge when it comes to the true riches that we as children of God possess in the kingdom of God. When we look at God's blessings, which each believer receives because of this union with Christ, and we need to understand that these are not limited to the things of this world. They lift the lives of believers above everything, so that now in the present world they can enjoy the spiritual blessing of the heavenly world. While we are here, we are enjoying the spiritual. We are enjoying the spiritual blessings. We are enjoying the spiritual blessings of the heavenly world while we are still on this side of the grave. And that is so amazing. Child of God, that is so powerful, so, so powerful. But if we lack the knowledge of this, we will not be enjoying that. And I think many Christians are not really enjoying the spiritual blessings in this world where we find ourselves today, in this world in which we are today, because we lack the knowledge and we lack the understanding. And yet there is, a majority that are enjoying that because they have access into the spiritual blessings that has been made available to us. And I want God to open up our hearts and our eyes and our understanding to this riches that we possess in Christ Jesus, and that we will now walk in the blessings that has been made available to us. Now we're going to look at what is our portion. Number one, what is the believer's portion? Now the Bible says, first of all, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessings. We have all spiritual blessings, all the blessings of the Spirit. And this refers to the Holy Spirit of God. And there are so many blessings. I'm going to name a few, but when we look throughout the New Testament, there is so many blessings. When we look at Ephesians chapter 1 from verses 3 to 14 or from 4 to 14, there are so many blessings that we see there that comes through the Spirit. And we understand that these to some people, it might, to the carnal Christian, it might not be things that are very exciting, because as I said, whenever we speak about material things that we can touch and see, people are more excited. But what about the spiritual possession or the spiritual heritage we have in Christ? And many people are not excited about the spiritual. Many people are more excited about the natural. And while I was in preparation, the Holy Spirit started sharing with me. The Holy Spirit started saying, you know, that many people has become carnal. Many believers are carnal. They are not spiritual. They are not spiritual. They are not looking at the Word of God or even understanding the spiritual side of what God wants to show us. And we need to understand that God's Word is Spirit and life. Spirit and life. Now, if we don't understand that, many people has walked away. Many people has sold out Jesus because they don't see the spiritual side of it. Many people has come to Christ only to possess the natural or materialistic things, but haven't come to Christ to enjoy the spiritual, the rich spiritual heritage that we possess. And I want us to tap into that today in the name of Jesus Christ. Is somebody with me today? If you are with me, say amen. In West Texas, there is a famous oil field known as the Yates Pool. During the Depression, this field was a deep ranch owned by a man named Yates. Mr. Yates was not able to make enough money on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage. So he was in danger of losing his ranch. With little money for clothes or food, his family, like many others, and many others, had to live on government subsidy. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills, he was no doubt greatly troubled about how he would be able to pay his bills. Then a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told Mr. Yates that there might be oil on his land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve, giving 80,000 barrels of oil a day. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed that it still could flow 125,000 barrels of oil a day. Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the land, he received the oil and mineral rights, yet he was living on relief, a multi-millionaire living in poverty. What was the problem? He did not know the oil was there. He owned it, but he did not possess it. That is like many Christians today who don't realize how rich they are in Christ. That is where many children of God find themselves, how rich we are in Christ. That's why I say the blessings we're going to speak today about is spiritual in nature. Spiritual in nature. And I'm telling you, when we begin to understand these blessings, we will then begin to understand what we have access to. Let's look at some of the blessings that the Bible speaks about. When the Bible speaks about in Ephesians, you know, about the forgiveness of sins. In Romans, it speaks about reconciliation with God. In Ephesians, it speaks about access to God. Ephesians also speaks about adoption of sons. Ephesians or Philippians speaks about the supplies of grace. Hallelujah. We look at 1 Corinthians 15. It speaks about victory over death. These are just a few that I have mentioned today. And these are so much more that we can speak about. And I think over in the next season, we can understand some of these blessings that has been made available to us as children of God, and the importance of accessing these important blessings that has been made available to us, and how unlimited the riches of Christ is, and how limited these blessings are that we can possess. My God, I'm so excited. In the Old Testament, God promised his earthly people, Israel, material blessings as a reward for their obedience. And we find this in the book of Deuteronomy 28, when we look at Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 13. But today he promises to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But he does not promise to shield us from either poverty or pain. When we look at that chapter 4, we understand Paul now being this apostle that carries great revelation, walking in the revelation that God has given him. And Paul understands that, you know, through this insight and through this great graces that God has made available to him, Paul understands that with this also, there's spiritual strength that comes to the believer. And then you have things like contentment. And you have to understand that God will take you through every storm and through every trial. And Paul speaks, you know, about all of these tests and trials when you look throughout the epistles and the letters and the prison epistles, how Paul encourages the people because he wants them to access that which has been made available to us. I mean, look at this Apostle Paul, how he overcame obstacles and how he overcame, you know, some people would have had mental problems with the type of trials that Paul endured. But Paul understood that there's much more to what we see with the physical eyes. There's much more that we as believers can access. And these are all made available by the Holy Spirit. I sense that, you know, that Paul had this intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God wants us also to walk in that intimacy, because when we have that intimacy and we have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can access the great things that has been made available to us. We can access the spiritual wealth that God wants us to access in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For the Father has given us every blessing of the Spirit, everything we need for a successful and satisfying Christian life. The spiritual is far more important than the material. And that is where we need to get on today. We need to find that place as children of God where the spiritual is far more important to us than the natural. And I don't think that it is that way in our generation. More emphasis has been put on what we see. More emphasis has been put on what we drive. More emphasis has been put on what we wear. But many people lack the spiritual depth and revelation that truly comes because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. And that is where many people has come short. And I see this in my generation. And I see this in our younger generation especially. We see that many people has missed the importance of the spiritual riches and the spiritual heritage we have in Christ Jesus. Come on, we have only looked at one side. We've only looked at one side of the blessing, and that one side is the material wealth, that one side is the financial wealth, but many of us lack the spiritual wealth that Jesus Christ has made available to us. Come on, church. We want to live a satisfying and successful Christian life, but we have to come into this understanding that these blessings that Paul is referring to in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 specifically is spiritual in nature. Hallelujah. We see that Paul mentions the Holy Spirit many times in his letter. He speaks about the Holy Spirit because he is the one who channels our riches to us from the Father through the Son. Not to know and depend on the Holy Spirit's provision is to live a life of spiritual poverty. No wonder Paul began his Ephesians ministry asking some professed Christians if they really knew the Holy Spirit. Now, when I look at this particular text in the book of Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7, I want us to zoom into this, because this would be a question that I believe if it's asked in this generation, there is a great, great lack of knowledge when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Not many people know the Holy Spirit. Not many people understand the Holy Spirit. Not many believers even know there is a Holy Spirit. Therefore, man has become dependent dependent upon His resources, upon His ability, and we miss out on the abilities and the resources that has been made available for us through the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul says to the church of Ephesians, for the church in Philippi, he says, you know, pray for me so that your prayers and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Even in the epistle to Ephesians, Paul speaks about the inner strength that has been made available to us. And how important is this? Because Paul understands now, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, he can stand against any storm. He can stand against anything that the devil throws at him. And how much of us need that strength today? Because many wants to turn back. Many wants to forsake the path of righteousness because of the trials and the temptations and the hardships of life. But when we walk and we understand the heritage we have in Christ and what the Holy Spirit is and who He is, not what He is, who He is, His personality, what He has, His attributes, and what He gives, what has been made available to us when we walk with Him and dwell and be with Him. Because remember now, the Holy Spirit is not only walking with us, but the Holy Spirit lives within us. Now listen to what Paul said. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior region until he reached Ephesus, on the coast, where he found several believers. Listen to Paul's question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? He asked them, and no, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I tell you today, when people speak about the Holy Spirit, some people think it's just something out there. Some people think it's just something. It's just something. But they don't understand that it's a person. It has a personality. That it has all. It is God. It is God. It's the Spirit of God. He is God. God the Spirit. And we don't find that today, that knowledge. Therefore, many times when we think about the Holy Spirit, many people only want to have the Holy Spirit when on stage. They only want to have the Holy Spirit when they lay hands on the sick, which is part of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, the gifts of healing and praying in tongues and, you know, anointing us to do service. That is part of it. But what about all the other vast riches that we have not accessed? What about us? Are we like Mr. Yates that did not know that we are seated on oil reserve, and that will stop poverty forever in our life, that will stop lack forever in our life, that will stop whatever we have come short of? Therefore, Paul said, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even though Paul went through tough times, but yet Paul said, I can, because Paul knew what he possessed, what he had. He had a revelation. Paul writes to the Romans and he says, you know, all things will work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Because Paul had this knowledge, Paul had this revelation that Paul had, you know, that he had this access, this vast resources, this reservoir of resources that he had in Christ that would never run dry, that it would never be a lack of, that there will always be abundance of. And I think we as the church has not even tapped into that. We have not accessed that. Like I said, we have accessed maybe the material wealth, but we have not accessed the wealth of the Spirit. And I believe that God is raising up man and woman in our generation that's going to make this known unto the generation, hallelujah, that there is great riches that we need to possess in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God, hallelujah. The Bible says, and Paul ministers to them, and as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Come on, somebody. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was the baptism. This was the impartation of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that how important the Holy Spirit is today in our lives. Because the question is to this generation, have you received the Holy Spirit? And even better question is, do you know the Holy Spirit? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says he is none of his. Romans 8 and verses 9. If we don't have the Spirit, we don't belong to God. Unless we have the witness of the Spirit, you cannot draw from the wealth of the Spirit. My God, that is deep. If we do not have the witness of the Spirit, we cannot make withdrawal from the wealth of the Spirit. Listen to Romans 8 verses 15 and 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Now you see, this is so powerful. There's so much. So you have received not the spirit which makes you fearful. Instead, you've received the spirit of adoption, which Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 1. We see the spirit of adoption. We have now been adopted, because that is the work of the spirit, the work of regeneration, the work of sanctification. These are some of the characteristics of the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we don't have the Holy Spirit, therefore what Jesus could explain Nicodemus was, the spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's going to. You don't know where it's coming from. That is the work of regeneration. You cannot explain it, but you just know that the Holy Spirit is busy transforming you. Come on, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. I sense the presence of God so strong. Every time, whenever I speak on the Spirit of God, I sense the anointing. I sense the presence. I sense the power of God, because I know when the Holy Spirit is spoken about, the Holy Spirit manifests. Oh God, I want to draw closer to you. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, I want to become your best friend, and I want you to become my best friend. We need to surrender unto Him. We need to yield unto Him, because we want to get deeper into the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When we look at number 2, Paul speaks about the believer's position, the exalted position of the believers. And this spiritual blessings are in the heavenlies, and we are seated in the heavenly places. Our blessings are in heavenly places, and this is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Perhaps a clearer translation would be, in the heavenlies in Christ. The unsaved person is interested only in earthly things, because this is where he lives. And Jesus called them the children of this world. But like I said, the Spirit is among the believers. Because when you watch believers, many believers have when you compare their visions, their visions is more about more of obtaining worldly things than it is to grow spiritually. I've seen this. I'm seeing this over the years. I'm seeing this with people that I grew up in the church. Many of them, I don't see them spiritually having excelled. Yes, I see them obtaining this and that and having the beautiful cars and having all of this. But I see spiritually, they have kind of backslidden. They have kind of moved back away from God. And we find this today, that even amongst the church has become worldly. And we need to bring back to that place where we become desirous of the things of the Spirit, child of God. We need to have this great desire for the things of the Spirit. Because as Paul says, you know, that the Christian life is centered in heaven. Because according to Philippians 3:20, hallelujah, our citizenship is in heaven. We understand in Luke 10:20, His name is written in heaven. Then we look at Colossians, when Colossians says His Father is in heaven, and His attention and affection ought to be centered on the things of heaven. The Bible says, let your attention not be set, or let your affection not be centered on the earthly things, but on the heavenly things. So very few people are focused on the heavenly. So many of us want earthly. And that's where we find the earth, the world is drawing the church in. Because so many of us, we can move deep into the Spirit. But we find that success is determined by how much cars I drive, how much houses I possess, what is in my bank account. But then when we look at the spiritual gauge of many people, it is low. Therefore, sometimes you would go to places and you'll find that people, because they dress with a nice suit and wear nice shoes and drive a nice car, they're called anointed. And then you find somebody maybe that doesn't have a nice car, doesn't have an expensive suit, and they call that person that he is lacking, and he is a sinner, or maybe he is coming short because he doesn't possess this. But then when the one who is dressed just normal opens their mouth, the power and the presence of God permeates and fills the place. And the one who's dressed nice, now I'm not saying all people that dress nice is not anointed, don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you today, I've seen it, and I'm seeing it more. The pursuit for the natural things are more than the things of pursuit, this pursuit of the spiritual. We find that more people are becoming carnal, more people are becoming worldly in their nature, in their attitude. People are not desiring to have deeper relationships. We see people have vision charts, and we see people have visions, you know, on their statuses, but very few few times you see people putting on something about drawing closer to God. You find most of the time people are putting houses and cars, but nobody speaks, maybe puts a picture of sonship, put something that you want to grow deeper in love with God. And I think many of us have found that our priorities are out of order, that we don't have our priorities in order. Child of God, it's time to prioritize. It's time to get ourselves right with God. It's time to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit and draw closer and closer to Him. Hallelujah. When D.L. Moody made the statement, he said, some people are all heavenly minded and earthly no good. But I think Paul was not speaking about this. You know, Paul did something in the book of Philippians, I think it's Philippians chapter 2 or 3, where Paul speaks about, you know, that everything else in his life did not matter for what he has experienced or for the knowledge he received in Christ. He says, I count all things as done. This has changed Paul's life. I mean, how many people today would count the worldly things as done for the true riches that we can find and the eternal riches which we can find truly in Jesus Christ? If we must really look at our priority list, where does the spiritual wealth sit on our priority list? I can guarantee you, with our lips, the spiritual wealth is on top, but with our hearts, the spiritual wealth is at the bottom, because we see it in nature, we see it in character, we see it in pursuit, we see it in daily activity. That is where we would know where your priority lies. And this is where we need to get to. We need to get into that flow, into that intimacy with God. We need to get into that relationship. We need to get into that where we spend time with God. Child of God, let's get closer to Him. Let's draw closer to Him, because we need to understand our position in Christ is that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The battles that we fight, says Ephesians 6 verse 12, they're not battles of flesh and blood, but they're battles of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. But the Bible says Christ has been seated above and we are in Christ. And therefore, where we warfare, our warfare is not in the natural, but in the spiritual. And if we don't understand what we possess in our arsenal, then we will not then be ready to fight what is before us. We will not be ready to take on what is before us, because we lack what we possess. And so when we're fighting these spiritual battles, we are looking for natural equipment. And resources to fight the enemy. But Paul says, you know what? You need to put on the full armor of God. And even after you've done all to stand ye therefore, after He's given you all that courage and all that make us understand our possession in Christ, He wants you now to know that you can fight off what the devil tries to put on you, because you have everything you need to be successful and to live a satisfying Christian life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to understand as children of God that physically we are in this human body, but spiritually we are seated in Christ in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. That is so amazing. We are seated in Christ in the heavenly places. Somebody needs to say amen. Somebody needs to say, I believe. Somebody needs to tap into that rich resources today and understand that I am seated in Christ in the heavenly places. And it is in these heavenly places that He provides the power and the direction for our earthly walk. It's in this position, in this place. The President of the United States, as an example, is not always seated at its desk in the White House. But that executive chair represents the sphere of the life and power of the president. No matter where he is the president, because only he has the privilege of sitting at that desk. So it is with the Christian. No matter where we are or where we are in this world, whether in our workplace, whether our business, whether in the university or the school or on the street or wherever we find ourselves, we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And this is the basis of our life and our power. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. When she was young, Victoria was shielded from the fact that she would be the next ruling monarch of England, lest this knowledge spoil her. When a teacher finally did let her discover for herself that she would be one day the Queen of England, Victoria's response was, "Then I will be good." Her life would be controlled by her position. No matter where she was, Victoria was governed by the fact that she sat on the throne of England. The fact that Paul is writing about wealth would be significant to his readers, because Ephesus was considered the bank of Asia. So they knew money, they knew possession, they knew material things. One of the seven wonders of the world, the great temple of Diana, was in Ephesus and was not only a center for idolatrous worship, but was also a depository of wealth. Some of the greatest art treasures of the ancient world were housed in this magnificent building. In Paul's letter, Paul compares the Church of Jesus Christ to a temple. Hallelujah. And will explain the great wealth that Christ has in his church. Paul has already used the word riches, but he wants us to check other financial terms in this letter. Words like inheritance, words like fullness, and to be full. Paul is saying to us, be rich, child of God. Be rich, child of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said this, and it's very, very powerful and interesting. If we have no appreciation for spiritual blessing, then we live at the level of animals. Animals live only to eat, sleep, entertain themselves, and to reproduce. We are made in the image of God, and he has something much higher for us. Yet many choose to live at the level of animals. God wants us to know every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ belongs to us. The third thing that Paul does, Paul praises God for these rich blessings, for this rich inheritance. Paul breaks out in praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a praise in Paul. This morning, there needs to be a praise when you get the revelation of what Jesus has done for you, or what Jesus has given you access to, or what Jesus has made you an inheritor, or what Jesus has made you an heir to. Come on, child of God. There's so much for us to step into and begin to access. My life has never been the same since I touched the book of Ephesians. I just know that God has opened my life to a new beginning, to a new world. If I started the book of Ephesians, I don't want to even get out of the book of Ephesians, because there is so much that is in this book, and I am enjoying it. I'm eating it. It's a couple of months I've been busy with Ephesians, and I just can't seem to get loose from Ephesians. Every time I think I want to carry on to something else, I come back, and therefore I've come back again. We have just completed a Bible study for 4 months on the book of Ephesians, and I just feel that there's still so much that I am missing, and I want to get into it. I want to dig it. I want to excavate the treasures that is in the book of my God, in the book of Ephesians. Spurgeon said this, "Our thanks are due to God for all temporal blessings. They are more than we deserve, the things that we possess, right in the natural. But our thanks ought to go to God in thunders of hallelujah for spiritual blessings. A new heart is better than a new coat or a new car. To feed on Christ is better than to have the best earthly food. To be an heir of God is better than to be an heir of the greatest nobleman. To have God for our portion is blessed infinitely more than our own broad acres of land. God had blessed us with spiritual blessings. They are the rarest, the richest, the most enduring of all things. They are priceless in value." My God. Therefore, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, who has made us rich in Jesus Christ. When we were born again into God's family, we were born into great wealth. It is through Christ that we share the riches of God's grace, the riches of God's glory, the riches of God's mercy. Even Ephesians go as far as to say, hallelujah, in Ephesians 3 verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That no matter how we would try to find out, or no matter how we would try to dig into this, but nobody would be able to exhaust or understand this unsearchable. I want to read something from A.T. Pearson in 1837. He lived from 1837 to 1911. He was a powerful preacher educator, a missionary, a statesman. He once tried to preach on God's blessings as it has been described in Ephesians chapter 1 to 3, the first three chapters, a section of scripture that continually talks about our unsearchable wealth and riches in Christ. Pearson said, in the words of the text, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable literally means riches that cannot be explored. You not only cannot count or measure them, but you can form no estimate of them. You can never get to the end of your investigation. There's boundless continents, a world, a universe of riches that still lies before you. When you have carried your search to the limits of possibility, I feel as though I had a theme about which no man ought to speak. An archangel tongue could do no justice to it. Pearson nevertheless tried to point out the truths about the believer's wealth as described in these three chapters. Then he told his congregation, I sink back exhausted in the vain attempt to set before this congregation the greatest mystery of grace that I ever grappled with. I cannot remember in 30 years of gospel preaching ever. I have been confronted with a theme and more baffled with every outreach of thought and every possibility of utterance than the theme that I have now attempted in the name of God to present, the unsearchable riches. That was his response to this. Church, there is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh God, our Heavenly Father is not poor. He is rich, and he has made us rich in his Son. J. Paul Getty, one of the richest men in the world, was worth an estimated $1.3 billion. The weekly income of some of the oil sheikhs runs into the millions. Yet all of this wealth is but pennies when compared with the spiritual wealth we have in Christ. In this letter, Paul explained to us what these riches are and how we may draw on them for effective Christian living. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is carefully structured as that great temple of Diana, and it contains a greater beauty and wealth. We inherit the wealth by faith. We invest the wealth by works. Without this balance, our spiritual riches will do us no good. Therefore, we have come to access that wealth, and God wants us to withdraw. God wants us to withdraw and withdraw and withdraw from the limitless, boundless, endless reservoir of spiritual wealth that has been made available to us. It will never run dry. It will never end. It's an unceasing. It will never stop. And God has made this available to us. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Today, God has opened up this revelation to us. My prayer today is that there should be a hunger in every one of us to begin to dive into the Word of God, to delve into the Word of God, and to seek out these riches and to apply these riches and this great spiritual wealth unto us. When you look at Paul, Paul had this contentment. Paul had this satisfaction that Paul didn't need nothing else, but when he found Jesus, he found everything. Can we genuinely feel that? Can we genuinely say that with a conviction in our heart that when I've got Jesus, I don't need the world? Can we genuinely say that? Give me Jesus is all I need. Somebody needs to understand. People have sometimes had wealth and riches and the best things in the world, but when they found Jesus, like Paul, when he writes in the book of Philippians, that he exchanged everything for the knowledge that he possessed in Christ. Is there a child of God in our generation that can genuinely say that from the bottom of our heart and really, really mean it? I believe there's many that has given up much to follow Jesus because of the great love. Because when they discovered, when they came into this precious treasures, they were now willing to give up everything to follow Jesus with all of their heart. To so many it looks foolish. To so many it looks like they have given up, you know, more. Or they were foolish in their pursuit. But I'm telling you, when you come and you find that the Bible says every spiritual blessing, nothing withheld, nothing withheld. Everything means everything. Everything means everything. has been made available to the child of God. Today, I believe that this message is a timely message for our generation. We are in the last of the last days. We are finding ourselves faced with many challenges, trials, tribulations, and difficulties. Times are only going to get harder. Times are not going to get easier. But as the child of God, we need to draw closer. We need to develop the relationship with God. We need to develop the intimacy with our Father and with the Holy Spirit. And we need to walk with Him. He wants to have this intimate relationship and this fellowship with you. Do you want that with Him today? If you truly want that, the first thing that you need to do, you must be born again. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sin. And that's where we're going to start today. So today, if you need to repent and come to the Father today, maybe you're a backslider, maybe you have served God, but you have drifted away from God, or maybe you've never made that decision to give Jesus or make Him the Lord of your life. Today, He wants to come into your life and change your life. And you will have access to this great spiritual wealth that has been made available. So today, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit today that I'm a sinner and that I'm in need of your saving grace. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe that He shed His blood so that my sins can be forgiven. Today, I apply the works of redemption to my life. I receive forgiveness for my sins. I confess all my sins and I ask that you wash me with your precious blood. I declare today, I'm a child of God. I'm the son of the Most Highest. I'm a daughter of the Most Highest. I thank you today that you have adopted me into your family and you made me one of yours. In Jesus' mighty and majestic name. For those who have said, we have not known the Holy Spirit. We don't even know He exists. We don't even know Him in relationship. We don't even know anything about Him. Today can be the first day of a new journey. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit today, right where you are, receive. Lift your hands today, child of God. Child of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is falling. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is moving. The grace of God is falling. The power of God. Come on, somebody, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is filling you up. The Holy Spirit is baptizing people. Some of you will speak in the evidence of tongues. Some of you will speak and you will feel the tingling. You'll feel the Holy Spirit come upon you right now because I can sense He's all over me. Receive the work of the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive Him and let Him work in your life. Hallelujah. There's a great work that the Holy Spirit has just there's great beginning right now in your life. It's a new beginning. It's a new day for you in the name of Jesus. Now today, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to connect with Kingdom Revival Ministries, you can then email us at admin@krministries.co.za, or you can then also go to Facebook and the Kingdom Revival Ministries, inbox us, and we want to walk with your journey and believe God for a mighty, mighty move in your life. God bless you and thank you for your time and thank you for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen.